Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Lord, we have a mission now. The first part is to understand just what is the Savior of the world. Why do we need a Savior? And once having become part of the work of the Savior, and ourselves being saved, what is the mission and the purpose of all of us? In this very, very powerful day, I pray that you will take us to the highlights of highlights, starting with this morning and this evening. Let it be very powerful. We thank you, Lord, it shall be, as we begin to unfold the ministry of the supernatural. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I said it early. I said the ministry of the supernatural. And I couldn't help, you know, Maud comes every week and she's got these flowers here and you can't really see them now, but I'm going to hold up one and you'll get a close-up of this one here. Let me turn it sideways. If you look at this, it's called a kangaroo paw. I assume it comes from Australia. I don't know, but flowers travel rather frequently around when it comes to Maud, and all these flowers come from the garden, and this one here, the kangaroo paw, and there will be an image that you'll be able to see in the background of it. So let me put down this kangaroo paw, which I think must be from Australia. I'm not a botanist, but I have done biology in matric and it's all fresh in my memory. So, but that I didn't learn. I learned how flowers work and operate and all of that sort of stuff. But okay, that's not what we're going to talk about. Now, I want to talk about the ministry of the supernatural. But everything has got to find a foundation. Everything has got to start somewhere and go somewhere. This is the starting point. And you need to understand that I'm going to explain a couple of things. And when I explain those things, the idea behind it is that ultimately it'll be obvious to you what your mission, what your purpose, what your place is that you occupy in the vast expanse of what God has created. But let's begin with the great Creator, the Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world. And let us look at him. There is a book, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible, actually, on my lap, on top of the computer. I've got it here. This is the 2015 version of the Amplified Bible. And as I've said many times before, this, at the moment, is my big favorite Bible, because I usually read the New King James, as I want to stick to a word-for-word translation, and I still find that one the best of the lot when it comes to word-for-word translation. Except if, of course, you read the Hebrew or you read the direct Greek text, that's different altogether. Then you get the full comprehension. But how many people actually get that full understanding because of the lack of the knowledge of Greek and Hebrew, and Aramaic, should I say? Now, when it comes to this version, the 2015 new version, updated version of the Amplified, in Colossians chapter number 1, and in the 15th verse, it talks about this here, the Christ, the Messiah. You know, a Savior can save you out of any difficult situation, from all harm, from all calamity, heal you, save you from death itself and the destructiveness of sickness, disease, calamity, infirmity, whatever you want to call it, by whatever name you want to call illness or diagnose it as. He can save you out of that. And every time, 1 John 5, verse 4, tells you these words over and over. Was it verse 8? Tells you these words over and over. This is the victory, even our faith. Our faith has been given over and over in the Bible codes as the victory over the coronavirus. The coronavirus is identified as a plague and likened by God as the plague of leprosy. Now, I had Mort's uncle, a medical professor at University of Wits, or the Witwatersrand University, and I know he did his studies, as being a Jew, he did his studies, Rubenscher did his studies on the subject of leprosy, and then went on with AIDS and many other things as he was academic and a brilliant doctor. But the whole thing about leprosy was that you had to separate, you had to cover your face, cover your mouth, cover your face, cover your nose, and warn people not to come near you. Does that sound like the time that we've just come through? This has been the most calamitous, if that's a new word for you, okay? That's the most calamitous year I have yet seen on a grand scale, a global catastrophe. This tiny little brainless virus outsmarted the world and all that is therein and affected every society around the globe. Now, when we talk about the Messiah, when we saw the amount of fear-mongering that was going on among people, and I still see it, I experienced it this past week, when people were very scared because of this. It's almost like they're hiding away because of this thing. And I could see the fear, I could experience the fear, and I just shook my head and I just walked off and said no more. Because fear-mongering has been the word that right at the beginning of the year, I put that thing together like you had fish-mongering or whatever it is. You can have fear-mongering. That is an excessive, like a obsession with a doctrine or a thing and the promotion thereof. Fear-mongering. That is taking this thing, fear, and projecting it into the population of the world. And the people, but they took it hook, line, and sinker, as we say it. But Christ, but those who are of God, but those who are of fear. And I still think the biggest mistake any of the parliaments of any of the nations of the world ever made was to say to the churches, we restrict you. Because the churches, I say the true church of God, the living church, moving in living faith, under the anointing of God, we get into the supernatural ministry, under the anointing of God, has the absolute instant answer to the whole thing of corona. Because by faith, we have victory over it. And I don't walk with a stitch of fear. There is not even the thought doesn't even cross my mind to fear coronavirus. Please. Please, you might as well tell me to fear a cat that walks through the room or fear a fly that flies around. I don't fear that or anything else. The only fear that I know that I've even allowed in my mind is, and that is a scriptural one, is the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's to depart from evil. It's to get close with God. And the song of my life has always been that just a closer walk with thee, or actually, I'll walk with God. A song sung years ago by Mario Lanza, I'll walk with God. And that was like the mandate of my life in that one song. But nevertheless, let's get back to the Messiah. Jesus Christ, the Lord. What does the Word call the Word? Now we know he has a name and he has many names. In Revelation chapter 19 from verse number 11, he comes from heaven. Heaven's armies follow him. He's called the Lord of heaven's armies. That is Adonai Tzevaot, which is the Lord of heaven's hosts or heaven's armies. They follow him on the day of the Armageddon, and he has a cloak dipped in blood, And there is a name given him called the Word of God. Go read that portion of scripture. So what does the Word say about himself through the Holy Spirit, inspired Word, for all of scriptures has been given in by the breath of God or inspired by God? Literally theopneustos, which means in the Greek language, blown in by the breath of God. This Bible, this scripture has literally been blown in by the breath of God. Most people don't even know it. Most people read the Bible like they would read the Sunday Lyer. They wouldn't make a difference. For me, it is life. For man shall not live, Mark 4:4, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This book is it. So let me say this to you. In the book of Colossians chapter number 1, verse 15, it's a remarkably powerful book that the Apostle Paul wrote. It says in 1:15, He, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, Adonai Tzevaot, Hashem Mashiach, Yeshua Mashiach. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He's the exact living image of the unseen God. He is the firstborn of all creation. Notice that expression. The firstborn of all creation. Let's take it again now, amplified Bible style. He is the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn, the preeminent one. Ooh, I love that. The preeminent one, the sovereign and the originator of all creation. May I just read it one more time? It's beautiful to the ear. He's the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, the originator of all creation, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things that were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and, notice this, invisible. I call that the physics of non-physics. Because non-physics is far more powerful than what we see in physics. That I've seen a long time ago. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him. That is, by his activity and for him. All things created by him, all things created for him. We are there, or wherever you are, can I all say, we are here on this earth for him, for his good will and purpose. And he himself existed before and is before all things. It's loaded. And in him, all things hold together. He is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. I'm going to read that again. He is controlling, cohesive force of the universe. Of creation. We're talking. Of Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, Christ. He is also the head and the life source and the leader of the body, the church. He's your head. He's my head. He's your life source. He's my life source. Walk with God, just the closer walk with thee. Those two songs. Powerful. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn of all creation and the firstborn of the dead. Firstborn from the dead. So that he himself will occupy the first place, will stand supreme and preeminent in everything. For it pleased the Father, for all the fullness of deity, the sum total of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes, to dwell permanently in him. The Son of God. I almost, when reading this, don't know how to express it. It pleased the Father for all the fullness of deity, the sum total of his essence, and all his perfection, powers, and attributes, God the Father, to dwell permanently in him, the Son, Messiah. You know, the Jewish people in Israel have a saying that not a leaf falls from a tree in the field without the Father knowing it, without it being under the full attention of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He knows where it hits the ground. He knows everything about you. He's the firstborn of creation, but he's also the firstborn from the dead, the first begotten from the dead. He's the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman called Mary, the mother of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And all of the attributes, seen, unseen, known, what the fullness of the Godhead bodily would dwell and still is permanently dwelling in him, the Son, Messiah. Now tell me, having said that, do you know what power he has? I cringe when I hear people use his name in vain. In the Hollywood movies, their judgment is meet. It has been decided. The shaking comes. It will be fulfilled according to the word of the Lord. This Christ, the Lord, that has been so readily mocked and blasphemed over the tongues and the lips of many. The lack of the fear of God, the attitude of man towards God, the lack of knowledge, though they have this book available around the world, you could get this book. In any form. In China, it went in on digital way. It came in. It's there on the digital platform. People don't know it. People don't know it. They'll never know it where it is. It's there. He is everywhere. The seed of Abraham is everywhere. And when his seed dwells within you, the Bible says, he who is in Christ does not sin, for his seed dwells in him. The seed of God in your heart. That causes you to be dead to sin but alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. that causes you to be able to say, now likewise, Romans chapter number, let me see now, 6. You can reckon yourself indeed dead to sin, but alive to God. 6, round verse number 11. Dead to sin, but alive to God. Dead to sin. So, if his seed dwells within you, you are dead to sin, but alive to God. The baptism is that unification and identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the living Christ. So that we need to baptize, that means to bury the old man, that the new man can emerge, who is dead to sin, but alive to God. But is the sin principle there? Yes, sin does exist. Is it in the world? Yes. If you partake of that, what would you do? You're still dead to sin. Therefore, the dead are judged according to their works, not according to their sins. It says so in the Bible, Revelation 20. Go read the Bible. See the Bible for your own self. Don't let me tell you everything. You can study that. And you'll see repentance of dead works. Hebrews chapter number 6 from verse number 1. Dead what? Works. The dead are judged according to their works, not according to their sins. Because Christ paid the price for all mankind to get saved through faith in him. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. Now, my dear friend, this Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, I can't put it more powerful than this. It pleased the Father for all the fullness of deity, the sum total. Did you hear that? The sum total of the Almighty God, the Father's essence, all his perfection, his powers, his attributes would dwell, is to dwell. It pleased the Father that all that was, is to dwell permanently in him, the Son of God. That is Jesus Christ. Now, people can mock. People can do. In the last days, there will be scoffers that will say, where is the promise of his coming? For from the beginning of creation, all things are just the same. For this, they willfully forget that the heavens and the earth are of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water perished. The cosmos, the social system of what we call in Afrikaans, the world that then was, perished, being flooded by water, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, and the earth was without form and void. Isaiah says, thus says the Almighty God, I have not created the earth to be void. And suddenly we find so many things that are mysterious, but revelatory. Big time revelatory. Preeminence before all things, he. In him is the unlocking, may I say, for want of a better expression. I don't know how to put it better, but in him, the supernatural ministry is unlocked. The ability of the Almighty God is unlocked. Eternal life is unlocked. Help when you need help is unlocked. Everything you need, every answer to every question is in him. For in him all things consist. Man, I'll tell you, my time is always a major problem. I'm into something, the ministry of the supernatural. And you don't want to miss this, because this will transform your entire life till the day that you leave this planet. Either when the Lord comes to fetch his church at the rapture or the catching away of the church, or at the end of the world in the final judgment, you will never want to forget. This will change your life till the Lord takes you home. That is how powerful it is, the things I'm about to unfold. May God bless you. May God bless you with the music of the Little Falls Band. I love you. I'll be back with you at 6 p.m. tonight.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.